cliffcentral.com.
Send me your location, let's find the vibrations. I don't need nothing else but you. Ride, ride, ride. Come and vibe with me tonight. I don't need nothing else but
you. I don't know who this kid is. I like his name. He goes by the name of Khaled. And I think it's probably one of the sickest January tracks I've heard in a long time. I think the name of the track goes by location, but I mean, if you're from South Africa, there's location, there's lokshin. It's two very different things, Khaled. I don't know if you know that. I'm between two minds, guys. Should I let this like ride on or do I kill it now? There we go. And I think just about now, we know that was Khaled, that was location, but it's 3 o'clock and it's time for the Urban Culture Drive. Simply On. And that was supposed to automatically play. And I'll try that again.
This is cliffcentral.com.
There we go. And in proper Lesotho fashion, always mess up with like the ones and twos technically before you start the show. But hey, it's still January. And I mean, today's the 16th, guys. Like, when is January ending? When is January ending? Because, like, I mean, it's going to be next week as well. And it'll still be January. But that's okay, man. You know, I think I'll stay sane as long as I have a couple of really cool people with me. And they're already speaking, and I haven't even switched on their mics yet. Let me just help them out real quick. Candice, what's going on?
I'm good. So happy to be back on the show. We have an awesome lineup, so excited to get back into it. Ntlantla, our guest, how are you doing? Welcome.
I'm great, and you?
Awesome.
I'm awesome.
Are you excited?
Pretty excited, actually. Even if I don't really, I'm not showing in my face that I'm excited, but I'm excited. It's actually awesome to know that I'm awesome.
Beautiful. That's exciting stuff. Mr. Craig O'Sexy.
Craig O'Sexy. You know, I'm always, as per usual, very sexy. Excited about today, although I'm a little stressed concerning the fact that it is still Jan. You know, some of us are scraping through the month. You know, we're still hoping for a blesser. You know, level 107. Not even 101. Les, how are you?
Listen, so I know you guys can't see us where we are, unless obviously you're streaming live. I think that's Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Whose account is that? That's on Job's account and as well as Craig's account. So if you're in Job and Craig's account, you can see what's happening in the studio. And if you can't, let me just describe this to you, right? So we all know when Candice comes to the studio, she's always lit. Like, I mean, she's a train wreck throughout the week, but I mean, every Tuesday when she comes, I'm like, damn.
What?
Which phone should you come off of?
What?
So Candice is here and she's like just being all stalkerish and she's like just the stalkerish, you know, she's looking nice. And then with Ntlantla, you know, and he's got tattoos and he's wearing a button-up shirt but with short sleeves and his excuse is that it's hot. But we know that he did push-ups today and he's coming, he's got shades on, you know, and like he made sure and he's like, no, I gotta do it right. I know the Candice's gonna be here.
Can I also just add that he drove all the way from Limpopo? So, you gotta... He had to wear the shirt. He had to wear the shirt, guys.
He drove from... I didn't even know that. All the way from Limpopo, Ntlantla?
Yeah, I'm actually all the way from Limpopo.
Welcome to South Africa.
I said the same thing.
Actually, it's nice to know that we're not from here.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's actually nice to know from here. You know how I know that?
How you know that?
We're much darker than y'all.
Hey, the melanin is popping,
yeah,
fam.
Like, I'm actually with a yellow bone right now, but... He's darker than y'all.
Yeah. No, listen, we don't discriminate against the melanin. We love the melanin. The melanin is our friend, you know?
And if I can just describe this scene to you guys, we've got Ntlantla all the way from Limpopo, all tattooed up, with a personal photographer and a videographer. I mean, fam, so
levels.
Drops mic.
Seriously. I mean, you need to understand now, Cyril is now the new ANC president, all right? Like, everything Limpopo is going to start popping now, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you came from Limpopo. For those of you who are in South Africa, a couple of weeks back, there was Date My Family in Venda.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like, I mean, Cyril's not playing games.
they no longer have to apply for a visa to come to Joburg. Okay.
You know, I don't really want to say much about Cyril, you know, because I'm not there. I'm not on the Zuma side either, you know. I'm just simply ANC, you know. And I'm not going with the flow.
So you still support the ANC?
Yeah, I do. Strongly.
Nice. You know what? We're going to get into that.
Yeah.
Because that's some really, really interesting stuff. And I really want to unpack that because I don't hear a lot of young people talking about still having faith in the party. But, I mean, let's get some different perspectives. And then, obviously, I mean, it's South Africa now, right? And in true South African tradition, okay, at the beginning of every year, it always gets lit, okay? Mm-hmm. So this year with the H&M saga, right?
Yeah,
because the South African racial tension is on a high. This year, we had the H&M saga, and that's getting lit. Last year, we had the Chris Hart saga, literally on the 2nd of January. That got lit. And the year before that, we had Penny Sparrow. Mm-hmm. So now, literally, I was just like thinking about this topic by myself. And I was just, you know, how am I going to get the angle to this? And I think, as pretty much a tradition, what I want to do is, because there's some really dope videos out on these YouTube streets, I want to play this for you guys. And I want you guys to tell me what you think about it, right? So I'm pretty much going to go to YouTube. I'm going to play straight off YouTube. And if it doesn't work, it's YouTube's fault, guys. It's not me. Lesego, being the typical, technologically sound engineer that I am. So just give me some time here. So I'm gonna play this. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna drop the backtrack real quick, right? I'm gonna push up the aux cable. Hold on, I'm setting the scene right now. And I just want you guys to close your eyes and listen to this and tell me if you can relate to it in any sort of on any sort of level, right? Here we go.
I am not black. I mean, that's what the world calls me, but it's not me. I didn't come out of my mother's womb saying, "Hey everybody, I'm black." No, I was taught to be black, and you were taught to call me that, along with whatever you call yourself. It's just a label. See, from birth, the world force feeds us these labels. And eventually we all swallow them. We digest and accept the labels, never ever doubting them. But there's one problem. Labels are not you and labels are not me. Labels are just labels. But who we truly are is not skin deep. See, when I drive my car, no one would ever confuse the car for me. Well, when I drive my body, why do you confuse me for my body? It's my body. Get it? Not me. Let me break it down. See, our bodies are just cars that we operate and drive around. The dealership we call society decided to label mine the black edition, yours the Irish or white edition. And with no money down, 0% APR, and no test drive, we were forced to own these cars for the rest of our lives. Forgive me, but I fail to see the logic or pride in defining myself or judging another by the cars we drive. Because who we truly are is found inside. Listen, I'm not here to tell you how science has concluded that genetically we're all mixed and race in the human species doesn't exist, or how every historian knows that race was invented in the 15th century to divide people from each other and it has worked perfectly. No, I'm not here to lecture. I just want to ask one question. Who would you be if the world never gave you a label? Never gave you a box to check? Would you be white, black, Mexican, Asian, Native American, Middle Eastern, Indian? No. We would be one. We would be together. No longer living in the era of calling human beings black people or white people. These labels that will forever blind us from seeing a person for who they are, but instead seeing them through the judgmental, prejudicial, artificial filters of who we think they are. And when you let an artificial label define yourself, then my friend, you have chosen smallness over greatness and minimized yourself, confined and divided yourself from others. And it is an undeniable fact that where there is division, there will be conflict. And conflict starts wars. Therefore, every war has started over labels. It's always us versus them. So the answer to war, racism, sexism, and every other ism is so simple that every politician has missed it. It's the labels. We must rip them off. Isn't it funny how no baby is born racist, yet every baby cries when they hear the cries of another? No matter the gender, culture, or color, proving that deep down we were meant to connect and care for each other. That is our mission, and that is not my opinion. That is the truth in a world that has sold us fiction. Please listen, labels only distort our vision, which is why half of those watching this will dismiss it or feel resistance and conflicted. But just remember, so did the caterpillar before it broke through its shell and became the magnificent butterfly. Well, these labels are our shells, and we must do the same thing so we can finally spread our wings. Human beings were not meant to be slapped with labels like groceries and supermarkets. DNA cannot be regulated by the FDA. We were meant to be free, and only until we remove them all and stop living and thinking so small will we be free to see ourselves and each other for who we truly are.
Mm-hmm.
Hectic.
Yeah, it is hectic. It's quite hectic. I know the fella, actually. I've seen a couple of his Facebook videos. I know the video personally, actually. You know, it is true. You know, we live for labels. You know, I'm not going to say I'm a good example of that, but it's because, you know, like, let me make an example. When you're in Sandton, you know, for you to get business, for you to actually get quite attention, you have to look quite good, you have to look spotless, you know.
You can't look like you're from Limpopo.
Yeah. Imagine if I came here in like a jumpsuit and a...
like an overall.
Over like, what do you call this? Water boots and all those things, walking right in. You were never going to take me serious. You're like, oh, you smell like cow, you smell like chicken, you know, because I live around those type of things. So you are not going to take me serious. So you have to go to the label so that the Joburg kids, the Joburg older generation can take you seriously.
You can pretty much identify where someone's from according to how they look or they dress, etc. Pretty much what you're saying.
Yeah.
Listen, it's true, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. So I listened to this last night, and I'll tell you how I came about to playing this video today, is because, you know, producer Jobs always wanted to like place a clip before the show, you know, and I was always like, I think it's a bit tacky, I don't know if I want to do that. And yet, you know, I mean, I wake up at 4 in the morning because gym opens up at 5, and every time I wake up, guys, in the morning, I literally have to just go to YouTube, type in motivation, and literally like play like a 2-minute clip just to get myself out of bed. And you know, it's very easy to overlook the power of something like that, or someone talking to you. So that's pretty much why I incorporated why I incorporated it today. Now, with that being said, right, it's about to get a little lit, because we alluded in the beginning of the show that, and I want you to just come in here and pretty much tell us where you stand with this type of thing. But every January, there seems to be a culture in South Africa that every January, you know, there's always some racial tension, or there's always some racial episode on a national stage that happens. Now, I don't know whether it's a matter of people forgetting that they need to go to work, or it's a matter of what the beautiful Dory, who works in here at Cliff Central, just stated. She's like, listen, is it because people are getting too lit and losing themselves, or is it because people are very relaxed and actually being themselves? Because it's very, I mean, there's a very fine line between the two.
Yeah.
You know, and when we're in our corporate spaces, you know, we come with like our suits or whatever, and we act a certain way. Mm-hmm. But when we're at home, the conversation changes. Mm-hmm. And you can usually always pick up if someone has a racist younger child. Yeah. I don't know, but these are just the dynamics I'm talking about right now.
Yeah, you know what's happening, actually. You have people that have higher powers, and they always want to demonstrate those powers, right? And when I'm talking about higher powers, H&M is just a marketing strategy, man.
Yeah.
Because.
So you think the whole campaign was by intention?
Did you see all the H&Ms were packed? the same time that when they were talking about H&M and whatsoever, it was packed.
So it's the whole thing of there's no such thing as negative publicity. Yeah. Publicity is publicity.
Yeah, publicity is publicity. But you must understand, there's a whole lot of Caucasian generation that has money that are going like, ugh, they are too serious. It's just a damn T-shirt, a green T-shirt. You understand? But for us, it's not just a green T-shirt. I would like to have a T-shirt that say I'm a mongrel, a survivor in the jungle.
Yeah,
I'd like to have a T-shirt like that. That motivates me. I'm not a dude. I'm not a monkey.
Yeah, you don't want something
but
for you.
You know what is it?
Yeah.
Let me tell you. They didn't take a light-skinned kid.
Yeah.
You understand? They didn't take a light-skinned kid or, you know, your colored-looking kid or whatsoever. They actually took a kid that has, like, your white little bit ears with a spreaded little bit nose or whatever. Yeah. If you can see the picture on my Instagram, you would see the white child is actually surprised. He's like, because he saw the coolest monkey in the jungle.
And you reckon that he put two together and was like, this was not right.
Look at the picture. Look at the picture carefully.
Okay, so we know that Candace is doing it right now, right?
Hold on.
I actually want to go to Candace right now. So we're going to have like a holistic view of what people think, okay? So Candace, right? Mm-hmm. It's January, okay? I honestly thought that January was going to like go past with something getting lit, but clearly not. What's your take on the video and the message in it, right?
Does somebody have like a charger?
And so we'll sort you out right now. Job will sort you out as the producer. I wanna interrogate that first of all, right?
The video
in terms of the labels, because I really wanna go in depth this conversation, and then I want to expand on it so that we know exactly what is going on and what we're dealing with.
Okay, I think the video is super powerful and tense and very cute. It's perfect. However, guys, let's not get caught up in the glamorization of someone trying to motivate us. What I will say is we do not want to be labeled, right? And I'm coming back to what you said, Ntlantla. We don't want to be labeled as people, but we label people. That's all we ever do. Please don't label me as this. Please don't label me as that. But that one's broke. Taught. That one's ghetto. That one's ratchet. Yo.
Let's be honest. That's what you taught right from home. Because you have like your mom or your grandmother. They'll be like, ah, we the Otani Ilangsan.
Yeah.
You understand?
So it's pretty much in our everyday way of speaking and conversation.
And just how we socialized as people. How we are socialized into becoming human beings. From our primary socialization, we are taught and you sort of conform to certain things and there's certain things that you gravitate towards too. Mm-hmm. So maybe I don't like rugby, but I like cricket, and maybe I don't like hanging out with the nerds because I'd rather hang out with the rich kids. And maybe I don't like driving in a Uno, but I want to please be driven in a BMW. It's all of those things that we become socialized as human beings. And those are the things that we gravitate towards.
Do you know what? I thought it was a very good video, right? But it kept on reminding me, you know, every time I used to go to church, you know, I used to go to these charismatic churches and people would be like, I don't see color.
Oh, yes. You know? I want to jump onto that. Because
I don't see color.
Absolutely. I feel like that's the most...
Take them to church.
Misconception that we have as human beings. We think that if we say we don't see color, it sort of excuses you from everything and you're holier than thou and, oh, you don't see color. But someone actually said something super profound once, that it's not about... We all see color. Let's just scrap that off the top.
It's a fact.
I can see that you're black. I can see that you're white.
Yeah.
And someone said, it's not about your first thought. It's about your second, third, fourth, fifth. So what do you associate that color with? And that's where the rottenness comes in.
Okay. Now, someone's been quiet for quite a while now, right? These PhD candidates always like sitting there, busy, probably trying to integrate into his thesis or whatever. But, I mean, Craig... it's 2018.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
The whole notion of labels to me makes sense. Okay. If I want to know that that animal is bad, then I must give that animal a name, right? It's a snake. Mm-hmm. Don't go to the snake. The snake is bad. The snake will bite you. Okay. This is a puppy. I can play with a puppy. That's what it is. You know, it has a name.
Yeah.
So when I listen to this video and I mean, just going off of Candace's point to say that there is nothing wrong with labels, right? You can label people. We have names. Our names are labels. Ntlantla is Ntlantla, you know? Candace is Candace. Okay.
But those are understandable labels.
Yeah. And I also want to jump in on that is when your label has a negative connotation, when your label is derogatory, when your label is stereotypical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then it's a problem.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Craig, what's your caption on it?
I think my caption on it, just going back to the video, is that what I felt it did for me was just the fact that we are consistently being reminded of the fact that we need to move away from the past, even though we have been. I mean, for example, South Africa, it's been more than 20 years trying to move away from apartheid, racism. We are still more or less, you know, it's a constant reminder. That's why each and every time, it's like Les said, it's January. It's a serious outrage when we have a racial imbalance or a racial issue, because we are still reminded, no matter where you go, you are consistently being labeled. I also think that right now we are a generation that questions a lot. So there's a lot of unsettlement within different kind of human beings. So right now, it's no longer like back in the days where you'd be fine with whatever you're labeled with. You question the why. And that's what I love about the American, millennium bands, because they're a bunch of kids that question. You have to give them the why, the reason, that you have to justify. It's not just acceptable to say that it's because you are black. We want to know. We want to understand and want to be given reason why has there been no change. Mm-hmm. And that is why I feel the world, not just South Africa, the world is very passionate about this. You know,
100%. So I mean, you came up and you said, listen, your name is what it's a reasonable label. I want to know what you meant by that.
My name.
Yes, like why is someone's name?
Yeah, why would somebody's name
be a reasonable? Why would a name be a reasonable label? But me as Lesego being black, perhaps not. I want to know what the distinction is between those two.
You know, actually, let me say. Let me make an example of my name.
Yeah,
my name is Ntantla, right?
Yes.
And between my mom had three kids. And between, I'm the last one that actually survived. Like, currently I have a brother who's doing 15 years in prison because of small house break-ins and all that. And I have a sister who lived life like a genuine rebel. You understand? Girls that are driving with your 325 IS, carrying a Okapi in your knife.
So basically you're Ntantla because you're very lucky, you're very blessed. Yeah. That's what Ntantla means.
Yeah. So that case, in that case, I was the kid that my mother had the opportunity to raise.
Yes.
Yeah. And in that moment while she was raising me is when South Africa was just coming and just getting into
independence
and being free. But she actually made me realize that South Africa was not free, because what she did, she was actually continuously feeding me apartheid movies.
Yes. She wanted you to know.
She wanted me
exactly what your country was about, that you were born in.
And then she got gunned down in 1999.
Condolences.
When she was gunned down, then I moved to Limpopo.
Yes.
Where I learned about humanity, like genuine humanity.
Ubuntu.
A child is raised by the entire community, if I have a slice of bread, I know that I got to give Candace some of that bread. Because if I don't give Candace some of that bread, she's going to be hungry.
Yeah, you don't know when she's going to eat again.
Yeah,
you know? So we do what you can.
If both of us don't have something to eat, and I was like, yo, Candace, let's go to the mountain.
Yeah.
And when we get there, we're going to have like a bunch of fruits with monkeys actually chilling in between.
Yeah.
But we are human beings, we're more civilized.
Yeah.
We know which fruits to eat. And
yeah.
And the monkeys are like literally betraying you with the fruits.
Yeah.
Yeah. But unfortunately, we don't live there anymore.
Yeah.
We were moved by force.
So, I mean, what I'm hearing from here, right, is that there's a whole history, right, of Ntlantla that was very much, I want to say it was very much apart. I don't know what you call it, apartheid, or it was racially characterized by all these negatives, you know, that hit you from side to side. And I guess that's why it makes it so particularly difficult when it's now 2018 and people are now talking about, that was in the past, you know. Let's go over, let's move forward, let's build together. No, get back the land. No, leave the land as it is. Let's just like go to other places and work harder, etc. The reason why I'm saying that is because I was actually at a church service and I was speaking to the youth about it, where the pastor used to say, no, we shouldn't be talking about getting back the land. we should be working together and making the country a better place. And I was like the only person in the church going,
you can never do that. I was you can never get that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm. You can never get that. If you want to have the land, honestly, the only thing you do, you have to use force and you have to be brutal. You don't have to think, you know, because one thing that I've realized in the world is they've created this artificial economy. You understand? And they took the actual economy, which is the land. You understand? Because without the land, you cannot manufacture that money. You cannot manufacture that computer or whatever that you want to do.
It has value to it. Now, yeah. You know what? In the beginning of this segment, right, of the show, I wanted to pretty much break up the show into three different segments. But these things are so closely intertwined. I think we're just going to pretty much push and just have two of them. Okay? Mm-hmm. And with that being said, I mean, I can see Craig really is urging to say something here. Go for it, Craig.
All right. Now, I just think that with regards to the land issue, and I absolutely resonate with you, I just only have one particular small issue with the fact that if I have never had land my entire life, right now, Craig was 6 years, Fisongo Nyama from Tulamash, a freaking Bosbok Rand, I have no understanding of what land is. I mean, I had a serious conversation this weekend about agriculture and how it works. It was completely rocket science to me. If I'm given land without skills, it's absolutely useless. You know what I mean? So the point is, if I don't have skills nor the capital to make that land resourceful to reproduce and create generational wealth, you know what I mean? I need all three things: land, skills, capital.
Yeah, which that is a fact. And actually, you know, let me make a good example with Zimbabwe. When Robert Mugabe took back the land from
Uncle Bob.
Yeah. So when he took back the land, he gave his people the land, right?
Yeah.
And most of them were like, they were not educated enough to run the land, and they ended up selling the land back to the White Oaks.
Yeah, yeah.
So when they sold the land back to the White Oaks, Robert Mugabe went back and took it. And those ones were forced to come to Johannesburg, and which that's why you see the streets are so filled with a whole lot of Zimbabweans and all that. And trust me, those are not, that's not the whole Zimbabwe. That's just a handful
of Zimbabwe. Yeah. It's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, listen, yeah, because it's very easy to go into a very deep dark hole when it comes to the subject, right? Because Craig is talking about capital, he's talking about skills, education, skills transfer, and then he's talking about obviously repatriation of land. Wow, my English has gone today. Yo, it's like Limpopo came in, English ran away. That's right, boy. I don't want to go too far deep in this, right? I literally want to stick to the essence of it.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm going to bring us back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I want to know, Glanta, you as a black person,
I'm not black.
You're not black.
I'm African.
What's the difference? Break it down.
There's a difference. It's funny how an Afrikaner, the word Afrikaner means an African. A Boer can call himself an Afrikaner. And then when
so Afrikaans is actually an African language, by the way.
Afrikaans, like Afrikaans, it means Africa.
Okay, go for it.
Yeah. So as like Afrikaans praat, ek praat African.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You understand?
100.
So now me as an African, maybe kebulela speedy.
Yeah.
Ngumzulu.
Sure.
Ndiyathetha, maybe. You understand?
Yeah.
So I'm not a South African, basically. Because the African already is already described high there in the position where he says ekasa Afrikaner, where he feels I'm buying a brand new car, a brand new house. He doesn't fill in where I'm black. It's Afrikaner, not a Boer or a Boer or it's Afrikaner, African.
Yeah.
Then me as an African, I must come and take by a black.
Yes.
That doesn't make sense because I'm African, and he's Caucasian.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is a problem. I can't be identified as a black person, and yet a white man is identified as an African in my homeland.
Okay. Hold. So, Candace, what's your take?
So, I just need you to sort of break it down a little more. So, what do you identify as in Tlantla?
African.
If we were to ask you, you identify as African.
As a Moor. As an African.
As a Moor, I understand.
Yeah, as a Moor. As an African, because you can see my hair. This is a sponge.
Yeah,
understand. That's how the Moor's hair is, a sponge.
Okay, let's hold it there, Craig.
We had this discussion with Candace, you know, today as we were driving, and I said, okay, today's going to be a bit uncomfortable, and I said to her, You kind of fall on both spectrum, actually. I mean, you're not exactly too black, nor are you too white. Mm-hmm. So I was expecting her to just, or just would like her to just sort of, how has that been like? I mean, when do you know when to play the British accent? And when do you know to go all ghetto on us? And no, but this is a real, because I had a friend of mine who has like interracial parents, and the way they're brought up, they eventually have to choose a side in a way. I mean, you're both your parents are colored or whatever, but it's quite interesting when you're in both a spectrum. How has that been like for you?
Okay, cool. Like I said a show ago, growing up, I grew up with the white kids.
Yeah.
So you identify, you sort of want to be white. You know, you want to be the blonde girl with the green eyes.
But I feel like all colored want
to
be like
no. I will speak to you about that. Is that colored people tend to want to identify with their white side, mm-hmm. and you'll find it many times. What I will say is, I identify on the black side. We are black South Africans. We are classified as black people in South Africa, distinguished mm-hmm. as coloreds.
But you have a bit of privileges also.
I wouldn't say that I had any fantastic great privileges.
Can I make an example?
Please do. Because I also want to sort of understand.
Okay, cool. Mm. I come from an area where, in the Israel, right?
Mm.
Tsakane, Kwatema, Tutuza.
Yeah.
And the black neighborhoods are quite effed up.
Mm.
Then you look at the colored neighborhood. The colored neighborhood is the dope hood. Where you want to go to school there, you want to have...
Have you been to El Dorado Park?
Yeah, I wanted to ask, like, have you been to colored hoods in Cape Town? Let me
make an example. Yeah. Then you go to like your Fort Lauder side also, you know, Wilmer Park or whatever you call those places.
Yeah, Fort Lauder.
Yeah, the colored neighborhoods are quite nice and they look because they've privileged. You know why? Because you guys get jobs much more easier than us. Like, we can go to the army, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you get to the army, they say, okay, if you have your math and science, mathematics or whatever, you stand one side. If you have tourism or whatever because you want to be a chef and whatever, stand that side. If you have your, you want to be doing medicine, what, stand one side. Then you find these guys that don't have those type of qualifications.
None of them.
Yeah, you know what happened?
Yeah.
Then they were like, okay, Ali wat oukies staan een kant and Ali kleerlings een kant. The rest van die groep kan maar uitgaan. Dan die wit en die kleerling kan maar inkom. You know what's the excuse?
What is it?
Then they say to you, it's because the population right there's too much black people, right?
Oh, so they almost have a quota. They need to like balance out the numbers.
Yeah, yeah. But then you go to the mall, you find more white people there, right?
Yeah.
You go to Heidedal, you find more coloreds in that whole area there. You understand? You go to places like Houghton, Rivonia, or Sandton, the South, you find a whole lot of white people.
Okay, so we actually...
And those areas are big. You must remember, those areas are not small.
So I'm hearing what you're saying, Clark.
Yeah.
Literally, this is such a difficult topic to pack into 1 hour because it's not a lot of time. Mm. So I hear what you're saying, and basically, if I can try to articulate it right, and here's a point, Candice.
I absolutely agree.
If you go to Cape Town,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Literally, colored people in Cape Town are the most racist people I have ever met.
Oh,
ever.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to get racism out of them because those people have money.
Yeah, but it's also because of the environment that you're in, mm-hmm. you know, that whole nature versus nurture thing. And that's why, like, I love Cape Town. It's a beautiful place. But for me to live there, I'm not so sure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bit too woke for that, right?
Mm-hmm. You got to have money to live there.
You gotta have a lot of money to live there. But I must admit, though, that there is a distinguishable difference between colored people in Cape Town mm-hmm. and colored people in Joburg.
Mm-hmm.
Colored people in Joburg are a little more conscientized. They're a little more... And I mean,
don't forget, most coloreds in Joburg, where do they originate from? Most of them come from that side in Kimberley.
Yeah.
So they're not tainted by Cape Town. When you take the Shosholoza mail train, go into the train, you will find more coloreds and more Xhosas in the train going all the way from here up until Eastern Cape, straight into Cape Town.
So, Ntlatla, do you agree, though, right, that obviously we can't paint everyone with the same brush?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's definitely a distinguishable characteristic between coloreds from Cape Town and coloreds from Joburg. Can you agree on that?
I wouldn't say. It's just that it's the sounds that are different.
But so the way they think they're not?
Yeah, we basically live the same life. We eat the same thing. Your biryani, your snookfish.
Candice, is it?
See, that's a label there.
Yeah.
the biryani and the snookfish. I definitely agree with you, Liz. There is a huge difference between the colored people from the Western Cape and Johannesburg. But I also say within condensed colored communities, there is a certain mentality that just does not leave. Unless you leave, you will continuously have the same mentality. It will not go away. So both sisters from El Dorado Park, who was born and bred there, she will come and work in corporate SA and work with black and white people, but will still stigmatize or stereotype rather black people and still look down and but we'll play it cool with the whites, I'll talk to the black guy, but we can't date them, hey? Like, why are you dating black guys?
I think for me, because I'm so silent and observing everyone just getting very all heated up. I have a bunch of interesting friends. So one of them is, obviously I have a lot of white friends and black friends and colored friends, but I also have one Indian and one Chinese friend, you know? And it's quite interesting how they perceive South Africa. I mean, the whole focus, and it's just almost like African-wise, it's always black, white, and
they
colored.
They think it's a jungle, actually.
Anyway, and you know, when I learned their perspective, is that they feel they are quite such a minority, especially the Chinese one, they feel such a minority that they find it very difficult to date, to associate. So they love to keep peace. So because they feel they're in a very hostile environment, what they do, they always keep to themselves, they stick to their religions. Because they feel that they feel that they're protected over just by them being associated with their own. You know?
So and I mean, I can almost believe, I can almost understand what you're saying, because from the outside looking in, it looks that way. But I mean, I have no Chinese friends, so I literally, I'm taking your word for it. What I'm picking up is, I mean, you're our guest today, and obviously the majority of the focus will be on you. Why do you feel like there is such a justifiable mentality to paint everyone with the same brush?
You know, it's not that. What I've realized is nobody will ever love an African.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Yeah, you can say that you disagree. So, can I make an example?
What about like interracial couples?
How does that work? Can I make a quick example? Mm-hmm. Right. Let me say, I think Muhammad Ali also made an example like that. Right. Let's say you have 1,000 racist, 1,000 people standing right in front of you. Right.
Yeah.
So out of this 1,000, 100 of them are not racist, but 90 of them are racist. Right, so do you think I'm gonna go to the minority that's not racist? I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be with you guys and what? I'm not gonna do that because I know there's 90% of them want me. They want to get me. They want to kill me.
So you're saying it's crowd mentality?
Yeah, it's crowd mentality. For me, why I say that is because, you know what? I feel like a whole lot of Caucasians, they don't want to realize that this system that's currently happening right now, it's benefiting them. Do you understand? It's benefiting them majority-wise. You can go to wherever, SAPS, you go to the financial side, you find that it's Afrikaners running the financial side.
Yeah.
You go to the bank, whoever is approving those things, as van der Walt.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. So you're saying that the system itself is still very broken, still very stuck in apartheid regime. Hold on, so let's engage. So, but again, I asked you a question. Mm-hmm. How do you then... So what you're saying is that other cultures... Mm-hmm. You're saying that other cultures, it's almost not possible. It's very unlikely for them to fall in love or love Africans, as Africa. That's what you're saying. So then my question is, how do you then explain interracial couples?
Interracial couples. That's why they divorce most of the time. You can go and look at the stats that they have.
Yeah.
Most of their relationships, they don't really last.
And what about this? The few percent that do.
Then good luck in them.
Yeah, there's always a 98, you know, 2%. Yeah. But I will sort of resonate with the fact that interracial couples do find it quite intense to completely gel after some time. I mean, obviously the first few years is the excitement, you know, learning, but that learning becomes an extreme challenge. Yeah, I've had quite a few experiences of those, so I do understand where it comes from.
So with that being said, because I mean, we're all a team and we all love each other, right? So would you say that we totally love Candace, but Candace does not love us? What would you say?
Candace, I don't know. I haven't chilled with Candace. But do you date like guys like me?
Only black men.
Only black men.
Yeah.
Yeah, then say she's colored, dude. She's in between. She's like Trevor. He can be like that's true, but you know, Trevor can play it cool. Trevor can be in an aeroplane, and when a racist card happens, he can just act like he's white and he ain't seen nothing.
Because I mean, listen, because I mean, there's Africans and there's coloreds, right? And there's white people. Yeah. So when you say Africans, it's just us black people with deep melanin, right? Mm-hmm. And the Candaces are on the other side, and the white people are on the other side. But from what you said, I mean, you're saying that these guys, it's very unlikely
Can I give you just a small tip of Candace, how Boere or Boers would treat Candace when she's not them? Okay, cool. Candace can chill with a bunch of white kids right now, right? Yeah. And they talk, wow, they have a nice thing that, yeah, do you need to see what? It's nice. When she leaves, and they were like, hey, die hot, not dunk is better, says better.
Oh, wow. Mm. That's deep, eh? That is actually
say dunk says mooi. Say dunk says een van ons. Actually, my wife experienced it in Limpopo. She had a weave and a cap on, and she like tied it up. And this white lady was like, kijk net, I love not so ons like. You moet sien as hulle die hare aansit, as hulle die makeup aansit. And my lady turned around and was like, yo, fat F.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she just gave a description.
You know, and as shocking as this might sound, right? Because, I mean, I'm trying to be diplomatic, but I can totally believe what he's saying or relate to what he's saying. I mean, it's very, very possible. But when it comes to the wheeze and that type of thing, I mean... Candace, do you think it's still a matter of black females trying to be white? What?
No, it's not. It's not that. It's just that I gotta have it.
Yeah, but it ain't.
Listen, it's not. It's not about black or whatsoever, whatsoever. Listen, it's just the way of. Remember a model? You see a model. They put the model there. They put the hair. They put the whatsoever, whatsoever. Right. Then they normalize being naked. Right. So now you come, you get your gym buddies. They look all tough so that they can post pictures on Instagram. All that. It's a generation of naked people. So now all these kids, they go on Instagram, they go on your Twitter.
They think it's cool to look like that model.
Yeah, they think it's cool to look like that model. And they don't actually realize that they've just given up their whole entire life identity to a dozens of strangers.
I agree with you. It's aspirational. It's aesthetics. It's not even that deep. But... there are instances where the aspiration and the goal is to be white, especially in like East Asian countries.
Kanyimbao, don't forget Mshosa and Kanyimbao.
Yeah,
bleaching,
where you wanna just be light skinned. I know even these filter apps on Apple
and Instagram
first,
and all that.
Your first option is to lighten your skin. It even says there, skin lightener. That is your filter. That's what they give you.
Yeah, and also, you know, just to add on that, there was actually a video back in the days where they showed a black baby and they gave her two dolls. One was black and one was white. And they asked her, which one is more prettier? And she went, the blonde one. And they said, why don't you pick the black one? She's like, no, but because it's ugly.
She's never seen it in her entire life. Yeah.
And on top of that, guys, we just got a message from Rudy and Dylan, the guys that I spoke to about the Indian and the... Yeah. So Rudy says that today's topic, sure, very deep. So Rudy, yeah, thanks for that. But Dylan says, you know, he doesn't really feel entirely accepted by the community because he's quite different. I mean, being Chinese, it is. And I just wonder, in general, how many of them do feel like that?
So, shout out to them, only because they know you. But anyone else trying to contact you with us, I should have done this at the beginning of the show. I'm so sorry. Still January. So, on Twitter, it's hashtag Urban Culture Drive. And on Facebook, it's hashtag Urban Culture Drive. Exactly what you were saying?
Actually, you know what is it with the Chinese culture? What I've realized is I worked quite a lot in Lesotho. I had an office there. I was a forwarding agent for SARS.
Mm-hmm.
So they would come in my office, like they would have this mask on.
Yeah.
You understand? So I used to ask him, like, yo, why do you have the mask on? I mean, we're all human beings. And she was like, they didn't even look at me. They were just
they didn't recognize
Yeah, they
you.
Just throw the paper there and they throw the money there. And I started having problems with Chinese at that moment. And when I went into Lesotho, in Maseru, then I started realizing how they treat those people there.
Okay.
You understand? I understand we have a business relationship with them because they are the manufacturing gurus.
Mm-mm-mm.
You understand?
But you're saying they treat us with a certain
disrespect. They're haters. I think a month ago, they had like a whole museum where they had an animal, and right next to it, they had a black person. Actually comparing that black person towards that type of animal.
That's quite interesting. So, Lanza, would you say, given your very deep history and your current experience, would you say that you are racist?
I'm not racist.
Okay.
I just, you know, I feel like I'm the current, you know, when you talk about Tupac Shakur.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I feel that I'm doing God's work right now. And in what I'm doing in God's work is I'm enlightening my people actually of how are we really actually treated. You understand? Because what I realize, Caucasians are very, very ignorant to the situation. And you can never, just by a verbal conversation, change their mind. Because those people grew in racism. We grew up in racism. Like Donald Trump. You can never change Donald Trump. That's Donald true. Trump is rude deep down the roots. He's racist deep down the roots because his fathers and all those, they got money. And remember, to change a wealthy man's mind about a black person, you have to be crazy.
You know, this has been an hour-long show. We usually have like two ad breaks in between it, but the show's been so intense. I literally haven't had the time. So if you think your work is too like enlightened, I'm enlightened. But I'm more interested. Do you have any white friends? Do you have any non-African black friends?
Non-colored?
I don't.
You don't.
And but I played rugby in the Free State.
Yeah,
you can tell by the body.
So
yeah.
So even the way we were treated, it was shit.
You know what? And what you're saying, you know, Ntlantla, a lot of people listening to this podcast will feel that Ntlantla is a certain type of way, and that he's racist, and that he's ignorant, blah blah blah. And it's 2018. How do you still think this way? And I'm just going to come off the bat and just defend you right now, because I think what people forget is that it is 2018 and Free State is still Free State.
Absolutely.
You know?
Free
start,
Orania.
Guys, I've been to
Orania. As that, if you don't burn Orania down,
yeah,
then the country will still be like this.
I mean,
where your title deed is owned by Fervut.
I've been to Free State once, and I could literally smell the racism in the air.
Right by the airport, right?
When you get
into Bramfisher and you see those old toppies.
I mean, listen, it's the way people look at you. And I mean, I'm from Joburg, so you know, like, I come there, fancy whip, GP number plates, and all white people look at you like, where'd you steal that?
Absolutely.
You know? And you can read someone's face. Yeah. You can read people's face, and you know what they're thinking.
Like, literally, somebody, like an old guy stopped me, was like, yeah, I steal a car. It was like, I was driving a BMW one
series. Yeah.
A black one.
And he couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Because he's never seen anything like that.
Yeah, he's never seen, because, you know, I was looking for something in my pocket, but I had the key. I'm looking for the key. And then I realized, and he was like, hey, come kegele. So he's calling like security date, and he's calling like security, come close. And everybody's like, I'm like, that's my fucking car. You don't even, you know, it was that. Just made it a whole. That's when I actually gave up everything in the Free State, and I just left Free State. And
because, you know, there's better place in South Africa. Candace, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced this, you've seen this, you've witnessed it. What would you say is the biggest thing that hasn't changed in South Africa from 1994 until 2018?
Land.
Hey, done. Over. Hold on. Like, and Candace is so right. Like, every time I want to do this, because, like, the computer's so far away, guys, I'll just look. I'll just go to the computer and look at it. Hold on, Candace. So the thing that hasn't changed, what is it?
Land.
The land policy. Even the mining charter hasn't changed.
Say that again one more time.
Land, baby. Land.
Yeah, that is the one thing that hasn't changed. You're very right. You're very right. Okay, with that being said, guys, listen, there's only 10 minutes left, right? And Craig's got some really interesting stats that we thought we'd just put in towards the end of the show, just to give some context and to actually see whether what he's going to say now and where we are now, if anything has changed or not. Craig, break it down, fam.
All right, guys. This is an article actually written about 7 years ago. It's about things that white South Africans should know about black people. All right. So I'm going to just mention a few. The first one.
Because one thing that we do know is that a lot of, because privilege breeds ignorance.
Yeah.
Right. And
absolutely.
I keep saying, my white friends, a lot of you are just very ignorant of things because of your privilege. You just have no insight. Mm. So let's break down some insight, Craig.
Yeah. This was written by Urban Miss Lerato Shabalala. The first thing
she said. Hey, Lerato Shabalala, shout
out.
Shouts. So Cliff Central, check out the podcast. Go for it.
Criminals scare us too. We don't feel comfortable by the fact that someone who's the same race as us is robbing us. Crime is crime. So sit down, Steve Hoffmeyer. The two. So when a white person says, you speak so well, is something you say to a two-year-old who's just learning how to talk. No matter how well you mean it, stay away from that phrase. It makes it sound like a wasp back.
You know, I've given so many people just a lot of clap back about that. Because if my first language is Tswana, and my second language is Zulu, and my third language is Xhosa, and whatever, because an average black person actually speaks four different languages.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
Right? Exactly. And we're fluent in all of them. Yeah. So it's very tough when the last one you need to be fluent in, because pronunciation of how you pronounce it and your accent is not a reflection of your intellect.
All right. Absolutely. Number three, if you have to say, my black friend Lucy, then you have a problem. We will automatically put you in the same box as a closet racist. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I meant to say uptight liberal. We'd also love to move to Australia. If only they had hip-hop Pantsula, DJ Fresh, The Big Five, Rian Krijwagen. Actually, I take that back. We wouldn't move to Australia.
Like, who even wants... Like, guys, let's be honest. Australia's a shit country.
Yeah.
I mean, the people are shit. I mean, there's so much nonsense going on there. Like, I wouldn't want to move... Like, for you to move to Australia, I'm sorry, I'm already judging you. Move to America, move to London, somewhere different, but move to Australia, like, anyway, go on, Craig.
Most of the time, when we speak an African language, it's not to exclude you or that we're gossiping. There are times when the Queen's language just doesn't suffice.
Hey.
My Afrikaans people, you feel me, eh?
They just don't know.
Contrary to what the majority party's Youth League would like to believe, we actually want white people here. We enjoy them. South Africa wouldn't be the same without white people.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're not trying to exclude you. We're not trying to, but geez, meet us halfway.
But they gotta practice our cultures. They gotta live by our principles.
Because they're in Africa, right?
They're not supposed to come here and own land. You understand? They're supposed to come here to visit this land. Mm. And actually, if they want to do business, let them consult with us first.
100%.
Yeah, let them. Must not go back doors just because the president is winning.
So essentially what Len is saying is that we're the new McKinsey, but it's all good.
Two more. We can actually swim. We can actually swim.
Yeah, we swim by the dam all the time.
All right, and also, last but not least, we are so over Mandosa's Galagata. Please let it rest in peace, just like the singer, please. Thank you very much.
I'm sure with that every single year and function, guys. Like, it never ends without that song playing.
Yeah.
Maybe they should try that. The Hibiri Sister Pacino.
And then it'll be a little more lit.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, listen. It's literally, that's the hour gone.
Yeah.
Like, there's no hour that goes by any quicker. But with that being said, listen, it's January, right? We've had the racial wave. It happens every single year. We're trying to build. A lot of things going on all at the same time. It's never a dull day. And whether we like it or not, we're going to need to confront these problems. And we'll need to engage with them head on. Mm-hmm. It's no longer good enough to say that happened in the past, because it's not. It's happening right now. Mm-hmm. And it's happening right now in Oranje Town. It's happening right now in Free State. It's happening right now in Eastern Cape. It's happening right now in Cape Town. It's happening right now everywhere. So with that being said, listen, I'm going to wrap up. Think about it. Share it with your friends. Share the podcast with your friend. And next week, let's have a further engagement, because clearly, we haven't gone through half of this today, right? And if you want to engage with us after the show, the hashtag again, whether Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, is hashtag the Urban Culture Drive. And you can always follow Craig on...
Craig or Sexy on Instagram. Facebook, it's Craig's Fiso.
Tlantla?
Follow me on I Want to Talk to Africa with the number one at the end. Yeah. Underscore.
100%. And then Candace?
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at CanCall. That's Can underscore Call. C-O-U-L.
And me myself, just search for Lizzie Humapanga Erwer. And I'll be with you. And with that being said, I mean, listen, we're still going to have Atlanta back on this show, because, I mean, your story, your journey, being a millennial in South Africa right now, what is really going on? I think we can educate a whole lot of people. And if you want to talk to Africa, I think this is pretty much the best platform to do it on. And with that being said, I'm literally like looking who we should play out with. And I think I'm going to pick this, whether you guys like it or not. Listen. Fam. 2018 and music is still good. And with that being said, guys, it's been the Urban Culture Drive on cliffcentral.com. Cheers, later. Cliffcentral.com.